Rony Zone Radio.
Well, welcome everybody to Rony Zone Radio, episode 16, number 16. This time we're going to be talking about an issue that I think cuts through every type of economic status, every type of state, every type of area, every type of family situation. We're talking about fatherlessness and how important it is to be a father if you have children. I do not have children, but also the pain that can happen from not having a father. Now, whether the father is not in the home or if he is in the home and he is either struggling with alcoholism or if he is emotionally distant, something like that. As you listen to this interview, you may hear things that really strike a chord. And I would just ask that you would just go with it. Either sit down and talk to a counselor or go to a pastor, go to a good friend. Bottom line is, if you need to talk to somebody, give me an email. Send me an email. Talk to me. I'm here for you. I really do care. This isn't a show. This is really about helping folks, and I'm doing what I can. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a priest. I'm not a psychologist. I'm just a guy who's really trying to get through life the best way he can. So I hope you enjoy the interview. This is a great guy. His name is Ed Tandy McGlasson, and he is a pastor. He was a former NFL lineman, and he's just a cool guy. He really is a cool guy. And he's learned a lot of lessons about being a father, and he also talks about the effect of being a good father on him and on his kids. So I hope you enjoy it. And now, Ed Tandy McGlasson.
Well, welcome back to Rony Zone Radio, and I have the extreme pleasure to have Ed Tandy McGlasson on the phone with me. Ed is a former lineman in the NFL. He played for the Giants, the Jets, and the Rams. And now he is a vineyard pastor in Orange County, California. He speaks at many churches and conferences, and he is an author of a book that's just fantastic. It's called The Difference a Father Makes. And Ed, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Great to be here with you.
Excellent. Now, why did you write The Difference a Father Makes?
Well, just imagine for a moment, trying to play basketball, Jeff, was out of goal, or football was at a goal line. When I look across America and the world, we have this issue where young people really don't know when they arrive. Mm. They don't know when manhood starts for the boys, and girls don't know when they become a woman, because that definition is fuzzy. Mm-hmm. And so it's like going to high school and staying in the 11th grade for the rest of your life.
Mm. I see a lot of fatherlessness in our country.
Right.
And you mentioned that in the book. What kind of price do we pay for this?
Well, I think it's the ultimate price. There's a story in the book of Genesis about Jacob's second son that was born to Rachel. Mm. And Rachel was dying. She had a very hard childbirth. In her last moments of her life, she names this child Benoni. Mm. Well, that name meant son of my sorrow. And Jacob, who had just wrestled with God a couple of weeks earlier, had his name changed to Israel from trickster. You know, he tricked his brother for a blessing. Mm-hmm. He gave him a stew and put on a hairy garment and slipped in for this thing called the blessing of the father. Mm. Well, later God called that his righteousness. Well, when I was reading this story about Rachel's second son, I found it to be very true that without a father in the life of a young person, a little boy or girl, they're not really sure who they are. They never kind of arrive to that place where they've, you know, kind of made it. And so they'll live the life many times of sorrow without that blessing.
Sure.
But Jacob did something there that was profound in that he changed the name of that son. Hmm. And he changed the name of that son to Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. And if you trace the lineage of Benjamin from that moment in history, you will find that nobody messed with that tribe. I mean, Paul from the lineage, from the tribe of Benjamin, Samson. You see all these incredible heroes that come out of this tribe because a father made a difference in the life of a son.
Mm-hmm. You give a picture in the book of the stands, and that fathers sometimes sit in the stands.
Right.
And you give a call to the fathers to be fathers.
Right.
And to take a stand. And The other interesting thing, I think, is you mentioned in your book about living in the smile of the Father. Now, that's very different than a lot of folks' view of God.
Right.
And so tell us about how to build God's smile over your kids.
Well, here's, you know, we can't teach our kids anything that we don't catch, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of like the dad who says, listen, son, don't do what I do, but what? Do what I say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And yet, when our view, we don't have much of a problem with Jesus many times,
mm-hmm.
but when we think of Father, it kind of dials up that relationship, mm-hmm. which for so many has this amazing wound in it,
mm-hmm.
that just kind of goes on throughout a lifetime because dad never let them know when they arrived or not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the whole issue of the smile of the Father came out of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, when the writer says, and Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despised his shame, and sat down the right hand of God. We see this picture in Scripture of the way Jesus acted. Matter of fact, if you look in Hebrews, the first chapter, it says that he was anointed with the oil of joy above all of his companions. He had this relationship where he could boldly approach his Father at all times, and it wasn't an issue. I mean, it was like Jesus was this guy who had a smile on his face because he caught his dad's smile over his life.
Mm.
And so with the principle that the Lord showed me with my own kids and the conferences that I do, that if you can raise your children under your smile, it's not hard for them to catch God's smile in their life.
Mm. Mm.
Because that smile is the smile of acceptance.
Mm.
In other words, there's nothing you can do in your life that you can do that can get God to love you more, but there's also nothing you can do in your life to get God to love you less.
Mm.
Imagine in being raised in a home, Jeff, where you knew that no matter what you did, no matter how good you did in grades or how bad or how many games you won on the field or the games you lost, that the look from your dad is pure joy.
Mm.
You know, and Zephaniah has this incredible prophetic word that he brings to Israel after their captivity in verse 16 and 17. And it says, talking about the Father, that he rejoices over you with gladness.
Mm-hmm.
He quiets you with his love, and he rejoices over you with singing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think about the image of what a father is in heaven, do you see a dad who is so excited about who you are and his love for you that he bursts into a musical over your life?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it a dad that says, you know, when you get it right, then you'll feel my love?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've come to know that this is true, that I got saved by grace,
mm-hmm.
but I also got to live by grace.
That's true.
You know, if we
That's
have to
true.
Live by works once we get saved, then what is the power of righteousness that Christ gives us?
Mm-hmm.
The same way with fathering.
Now, you didn't know your father, but tell me about your stepfather and how important he was to you in your life.
Yeah, my real father, as you know in the book I
yes.
talk about, was killed in action.
Yes.
Well, my mother married a submarine commander, and he was, you know, he was the typical submarine commander, where he was a little bit more stealth
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
under the water and comes up and torpedoes you. But he did something in my life that marked me. It was something that he didn't really plan on, because he didn't know the power would have. He was going out to sea for a med, which is a term they use in the Navy in those days, where the you know, the submarine or the aircraft carrier would leave port and kind of spend a number of months in the Mediterranean Sea.
Mm.
Well, my dad was getting ready to leave. He was a captain of the Tranny Fish pulling out of Key West, Florida. And as a result, what happened there was he had left the keys to the car in his pocket. And so it was a car that my mother refused to drive. So here's my whole family there, my mom, my friends, the guys who went to school with, the other parents there. My dad grabs a bullhorn, Jeff, shouts over the crowd. He said, Ed, today you are a man. Drive your mother home. And then he takes these keys from, oh, I don't know, about 100 feet from the top of the conning tower and throws them to me. I remember catching them in my left hand. I mean, to this day, I can feel those keys in my hand. And in a moment, my dad declared over me that I don't got to work to be a man anymore. I was a man because he said so.
Wow.
And then I had to drive my mom home, and you know, Jeff, I had never driven. But I ended up whiplashing my mom all the way home trying to get used to that clutch.
Okay.
And that's another story.
You mentioned in the book about bringing back the rite of passage and also giving permission to your children to move on to the next part of life. And what does that mean, giving your kids permission?
Well, you know, when your children are growing up, they're in this kind of adolescent place that, you know, their bodies are changing,
mm-hmm.
their hormones are changing, and they want to become adults. They want to become, you know, they want to be recognized. They want their own rules, matter of fact. You hear them say, why do I always got to do it your way?
Mm.
What parents do many times is they just apply more pressure.
Mm.
They say, okay, I'm just going to have to use more power. So they power their kids. They restrict them. They take their voice away.
Mm.
Instead of giving them permission and saying, you now are a man or a woman, and graduating them, just like you graduate out of high school or college,
mm.
they hold them back with their power.
Mm.
Well, I look for a model in Scripture where God, the Father, kind of did that. You know, I mean, he's the best father who ever lived. So
sure.
How did he do that? And so I look the way he dealt with Jesus in Matthew chapter 3 during the baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And just an incredible picture of this voice that spoke over Jesus when he came out of the water and was baptized, that just kind of cemented something in him. Later on, when you look in 2 Peter, Peter describes that moment. He said, remember the day that we were there, and we heard that voice that came from heaven that said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I love.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right after that moment, what was just so fascinating in this is that I have a rabbi friend who I've been bouncing these ideas off of,
mm-hmm.
that the last line of Bar Mitzvah is a line where father, as he runs down a wall of honor, ends up lifting up his son on his shoulders or on a chair, and he's carried into manhood, and the last line is, this is my beloved son in whom I love.
Mm-hmm.
And so before the whole world, you see this picture of the father affirming publicly his son. Well, a bat mitzvah is the Jewish version of doing it for a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens in that moment when there's a moment where father now says, okay, now you have arrived at the next place.
Mm-hmm.
You are now a man. His whole style then of how he treats his son then needs to change. The same with the mom. They don't treat him as a kid the same way, but they create a whole new style of speaking in their life and asking them questions and calling them out. Because, you know, one of the things, Jeff, that I learned, and believe me, this book is written by all the mistakes I made as well as a parent, is that if you have to power your son to get him to obey you, what happens is you steal his voice away and you steal any motivation inside him, because he doesn't get a choice. And so what happens for so many young people that I see is they end up obeying you in front of you. Maybe they're at church and it's all sing hallelujah to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But when they get around their friends, they obey the rules they want to obey.
Mm-hmm.
And many times they will resist their parental authority and they'll make up rules that are completely opposite. And the next thing you see is your son has purple hair or, you know, a reverse mohawk or something that you go, oh my gosh, what's happened here?
Mm-hmm. You also mentioned the blessing your children.
Right.
And that is mentioned many times in the Bible. And how is that applicable today?
Well, when you look throughout Scripture, you find where dads bless their sons. And that son lived in this incredible blessing and birthright.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, looking at Scripture and searching, I tried to find where it said that you only could bless one.
Okay.
Why not two, three, four, and five?
Mm-hmm.
See, what happens when the blessing of the Father comes, it's almost like this. God's put a power. Well, no, it's exactly like this. God's put a power inside of the voice of the Father that's prophetic over his children.
Mm.
And when he speaks over them that they're champions and that God's meant their life for greatness,
mm-hmm.
and that their daughters are beautiful, and, you know, when a father speaks that way over the life of that child, that kind of sets a bar in their life.
Mm.
But if they speak words like, don't bother me, I'm working. Have you done your homework? How come you don't work harder? what's wrong with you? How can you be from my loins? Mm. You know, when dads get frustrated when the performance of their kids is in a certain way, many times they use their mouth and they end up cursing their kids to a life of mediocrity. They just go, well, why should I try? No matter what I do, my dad's going to not say I win.
Mm.
I mean, imagine playing a football game and a referee never raises his hands and calls touchdown.
Mm.
The blessing of the father gives children that moment when they know they score.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, there's nothing that feels better after you've trained to get out there and actually have an opportunity to score and to know what dad really thinks. And what I call that is kind of the mountain of approval.
Mm-hmm.
When you get that from your dad, you kind of live your life downhill. You live it from approval instead of for it. See, you either live from God's blessing and God's smile in your life, or you do everything in your life to try to get God's smile. And when you try to get it, that's not living by grace, Jeff. That's living by works. And what happens?
Mm-hmm.
You become religious.
Mm.
And after a while, you realize you can't do it. And then why follow a God that no matter what I do, he's never going to smile on my life?
That is so powerful, just that statement right there, because we have really a generation of people, whether they're saved or not, they're following after the validation of their father.
That's right.
Maybe that has never been around or that was there but emotionally disconnected.
Yeah.
We have a nation, probably a world full of people trying to find God's validation through many, many different avenues.
Right.
What I love is that in your book it says that you set the direction for your kids.
Right.
And by giving them a blessing and pointing them in a direction and saying, I love you no matter what. Now, go be great adults and change your world.
That's right, brother. You got it.
Now, let's talk to maybe somebody who's listening to this who maybe is not a Christian, and they're saying, okay, these are great little tidbits and all this, but really, how important is having a relationship with God when you raise your children? Is God, the Bible, and church relevant in 2005?
Well, that's a great question, Jeff, and my answer is, yes, it is relevant. I mean, if you look right now, even at your own life, say you've been raised without the love of a father. Well, you know, they say that the first image of God in the life of a child is a relationship with their dad.
Mm.
How many people do we see who live from this incredible wound of their relationship with their dad? I've done tons of funerals, and I've done them for non-believers. And they'll walk around that casket in the last moment. I'll hear things like, well, you know, I know he loved me, but he just didn't know how to say it.
Mm.
And see, the reason that Christ came was not only to redeem us from the mistakes we make and the brokenness that we all live in, because, I mean, Christians are no different than non-Christians in that we sin.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is that who pays for it?
Mm.
Who really pays for that? So Christ came to pay for that so it wouldn't separate us from the love of his Father. But number two, he came to bring us a new father in our life, a father that's not like our old father, no matter how good or bad he was, a father that can heal the deep-seated wounds that we have.
Mm-hmm.
How many counseling offices are filled and how many times I have appointments with people, non-believers and like, is they carry around this incredible burden in their life that they don't know where they stand with their dad.
Mm-hmm.
And that wound is so ferocious in them that for a young girl, it could cause a life of hatred of men. For a boy, it causes this place where no matter what he does, he expects, because of the conditioning his dad put in his life, that, you know what, he's a failure no matter what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know what, I'll just kind of go through life, and you know what, I'll prove to my dad, I'll make money. I thought it was interesting recently in one of those business articles, Trump was at Harvard Law School giving a lecture.
Mm-hmm.
On successful businessmen, and in his hand he had a rolled up Fortune magazine. And as he's speaking to this crowd of students, he begins to get intimate for a moment, and he talks about his fractured relationship with his dad. And in that moment, saying that, you know, his dad never ever told him he was good enough. Well, this was a magazine where years ago his picture was on the cover of this magazine. And he holds up this magazine. He looks up in the rafters, and he says, is this enough, Dad?
Mm.
Is this enough?
Mm.
Well, I think that wound is throughout our society, because mm-hmm. when Adam and Eve chose to make their own decisions on good and evil, at that moment, they lost the love of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Christ came to bring it back to us.
Mm-hmm.
So that we don't have to live a life of this gigantic question mark, and that is, do I have what it takes if you're a guy? And if you're a girl, am I beautiful?
Mm.
Am I somebody worthy to be loved?
Mm. Ed, we're going to wrap it up at this point. I just have to say what a fantastic guy you are. What a fantastic pastor you are. I've been to your church many times. I love the book, and you can get this book, if you're listening, at thedifferenceafathermakes.com.
And Family Christian Bookstores mm-hmm. is now storing it, also the Munts Group of Christian Stores.
Mm-hmm.
And we just actually got in bookstores as of the 19th of this month.
Very good.
So it's out there, and so support your local Christian bookstores.
Absolutely. Ed, thanks so much for taking your time.
You're welcome, brother. If there's anything I can do for you, let me know. And just remember, live in the smile of the Father.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And let's change the world for the King.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
You too.
Take care.
I was so lucky to have Ed on the show. He was very gracious with his time, and I certainly appreciate him. Please buy his book and support him. And I really think that you're going to get a benefit from it. And so go to the website, thedifferenceafathermakes.com, or go to your local Christian bookstore and support him. Well, the bottom line is, as you listen to this interview, there may have been points in time where you said, wow, that's me. I need that. I never got that, whether you're a male or a female. And I really recommend that if that is happening to you, that you sit down with somebody that you trust, either a priest or a pastor or someone that you trust, a good friend, a family member, whatever, a counselor. There's nothing wrong with sitting down with a counselor and talking. So whatever you need, I really encourage you to do that. And the bottom line is, if you don't have anybody to talk to, you can email me. I'll do what I can. I'm certainly not a doctor. I'm not a psychologist, psychiatrist. I'm not a pastor or priest. I'm just a guy that's trying to get through life the best way he can. But the bottom line is, I want to help. And I want to help without any credentials. So now, please visit jrd-now.com, the website. There's a lot of fun stuff there. That's where we give updates on upcoming shows and things that we're doing for the shows, etc., etc. I also would like for you to drop me an email this week, jeff.roney, R-O-N-E-Y, @gmail.com. Please do that. Let me know how you're doing. Let me know if you like the show, if you don't like the show, whatever. It's fine with me. So please do that. Drop by the website. Drop me an email. Let me know what's going on. And I thank you so much for listening. And until next time, this is Jeff Roney signing off.
Roney Zone Radio.